the field and stand in front of the motion sensors and wave, setting them off. The control room would spot him. They'd send a car out to pick him and the kids up. He'd tell Arnold to recall the supply ship, and they'd all finish the night in their own beds back in the lodge. He would do that right away. In just a couple of minutes, he yawned and closed his eyes again. "Not bad," Arnold said in the control room, staring at the glowing map. "There's only 3 cutouts in the whole park. Much better than I hoped for."
"Cutouts?"
Gennaro said. "The fence automatically cuts out short-circuited sections," he explained. "You can see a big one here in Sector 12, near the main road." "That's where the wrecks knocked the fence down," Muldoon said.
"Exactly. And another one is here in Sector 11, near the sauropod maintenance building."
"Why would that section be out?" Gennaro said.
"God knows," Arnold said. "Probably storm damage, or a fallen tree. We can check it on the monitor in a while. The third one is over there by the Jungle River. Don't know why that should be out either."
As Gennaro looked, the map became more complex, filling with green spots and numbers.
"What's all this?"
"The animals. The motion sensors are working again, and the computer's starting to identify the location of all the animals in the park, and anybody else, too."
Gennaro stared at the map.
"You mean Grant and the kids?"
"Yes. We've reset our search number above 400. So if they're out there moving around," Arnold said, "the motion sensors will pick them up as additional animals."
He stared at the map.
"But I don't see any additionals yet."
"Why does it take so long?" Gennaro said.
"You have to realize, Mr. Gennaro," Arnold said, "that there's a lot of extraneous movement out there. Branches blowing in the wind, birds flying around, all kinds of stuff. The computer has to eliminate all the background movement. It may take,
Okay, count's finished."
Gennaro said, "You don't see the kids?"
Arnold twisted in his chair and looked back to the map. "No," he said. "At the moment, there are no additionals on the map at all. Everything out there has been accounted for as a dinosaur. They're probably up in a tree, or somewhere else where we can't see them. I wouldn't worry yet. Several animals haven't shown up, like the big Rex. That's probably because it's sleeping somewhere and not moving. The people may be sleeping, too. We just don't know."
Muldoon shook his head.
"We better get on with it," he said. "We need to repair the fences and get the animals back into their paddocks. According to that computer, we've got 5 to herd back to the proper paddocks. I'll take the maintenance crews out now."
Arnold turned to Gennaro.
"You may want to see how Dr. Malcolm is doing. Tell Dr. Harding that Muldoon will need him in about an hour to supervise the herding, and I'll notify Mr. Hammond that we're starting our final cleanup."
Gennaro passed through the iron gates and went in the front door of the safari lodge. He saw Ellie Sattler coming down the hallway carrying towels and a pan of steaming water.
"There's a kitchen at the other end," she said. "We're using that to boil water for the dressings."
"How is he?" Gennaro asked.
"Surprisingly good," she said.
Gennaro followed Ellie down to Malcolm's room and was startled to hear the sound of laughter. The mathematician lay on his back in the bed with Harding adjusting an IV line.
"So the other man says, 'I'll tell you frankly, I didn't like it, Bill. I went back to toilet paper.'"
Harding was laughing.
"It's not bad, is it?"
Malcolm said, smiling.
"Ah, Mr. Gennaro, you've come to see me. Now you know what happens from trying to get a leg up on the situation."
Gennaro came in tentatively.
Harding said, "He's on fairly high doses of morphine."
"Not high enough, I can tell you," Malcolm said. "Christ, he's stingy with his drink."